Good morning. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter, and we're going to read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I, God, comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and his indignation towards his enemies. Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for today and for all the blessings you have given us. And Lord, just ask you to watch and care over us, Lord. And we're just so thankful for each and every one of the ladies that are with us and all of our mothers. And we just ask that you'll just give them a special blessing this day and just let them know that we so appreciate their effort and their love and their service to you through your church. Lord, just so thankful for all you've done for us through Jesus Christ. Ask all these things in his name. Amen. Being Mother's Day, I'm not going to preach at mothers. That Mother's Day is one of the hardest days for me to preach. I'm not a mother, right? But there's this quality of God that he uses metaphors, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Motherly attributes of God, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So a little bit of a introduction to try to clarify what I want to talk about this morning. Jesus, we know in his human nature, was male, right? He was created a baby. He was in the flesh, male. It is also true that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are each consistently referred to in the Bible with the male personal pronoun he, and as such it is biblically faithful. It is, we can call and refer to God as he. However, we must never make the mistake of claiming that God in his divinity is intrinsically male, for we find that God says, or the Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, God is spirit. And then the rest of the verse, also in Corinthians, it says, now the Lord is that spirit. This phrase, these phrases, God is spirit, now the Lord is spirit, it describes the nature of God. God is neither male nor female, yet we can refer to him as male, and the Bible does so on numerous occasions. But we know that he is not neither. God is a spirit. When we call God, for example, Father, we do not mean that he is male like human fathers are. Rather, we mean that he relates to us like human fathers do. He provides for, he protects, he leads. He even disciplines us like the best of human fathers do, only better. Consider this. It is only when both man and woman are created in Genesis 1 that God is fully imagined. And God said, "Let us make man," and the term there doesn't really mean male necessarily. What it means is mankind. Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male, female created he them. It's interesting, the first time that we see God declaring something not good is when Adam finds himself alone in the garden. This is before God had created Eve, and God said it is not good, right, that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. Adam realized that all the other creation of God had two, male and female, and God and Adam realized that something was missing, and so God created Eve, and in his image created mankind, male and female. So we find that it implies that both genders are necessary to fully display the image of God. There are things about God that men more uniquely and directly display, and there are things about God that women more uniquely and directly display. So this morning, we will consider how God honors women and mothers by using metaphors of feminine characteristics to describe some of the attributes of God. So we're going to start with the text verse, and the very first thing we're going to consider this morning is God is like a mother who comforts her child, and one whom his mother comforts, so will I, God says, as a mother comforts. Who's better at comforting? Now, I know men can comfort, but I know women are good at comforting too, and it comes kind of second nature. We were having a picnic at the church, and there was a little girl, and she was about 10 feet from her dad, and then her mom was about another 20 feet away. And she fell and she got hurt, and her dad knelt down and he was going to comfort her. And she came running, just she was all upset, and she ran right by dad to mom. And mom grabbed her up, and dad's like, "What? Can I?" Right? Now, my brother had six boys, and with six boys, and my brother wasn't much of a comforter. He was like, if it's not bleeding, if it's not broken, I don't want to hear about it, right? I think that God used mothers, right, for a reason. Fathers are necessary, fathers important, and fathers can give comfort. But boy, God says that motherly instinct to want to comfort. And he says, so will I comfort you. And then I like verse 14. And when you see this, when you see God comforting as a mother, so as a mother would comfort you when you would get hurt, it would soothe those things. It would soothe you. And it says, and when you see this, your heart shall rejoice. And I think it's really neat when we understand the comfort of God, our heart will rejoice because he so cares for us. He so loves us that he wants to comfort us as a mother. And the hand of the Lord at the end of that, it says, and the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants. Why? Because of how he comforts, how he cares for us. It's kind of interesting. God says, as a mother, I will comfort. And I went and looked at some verses about what the Bible says about comfort. And I found something really interesting, that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it talks about all three giving comfort. And I found that kind of fascinating. We know the story of Jesus when the woman who had the issue of blood, and for 12 years she had this chronic illness, and we're not exactly sure what it was, but because it was an issue of blood or blood was flowing, she was considered unclean, and as a result of that, in Jewish society, she was unable to be with everybody else. And so she had to be separated. She couldn't be with her family. She couldn't cook, all those things. And this must have really have been very difficult for her. And it says that she went and spent all that she had for doctors, and she never found any relief. And she said in her heart, if I could just come and if I could just touch the hem of his garments. Now, being with the issue of blood, she was not supposed to be around people. And we know that she came and she touched the hem, and Jesus understood that somebody had touched me. It's kind of interesting. Jesus says, somebody touched me. And the disciples thought Jesus was making a joke. They said, Lord, everybody is touching you. He was in a throng and all these people. But he understood that virtue, and that's the word that is used. And he turned and he looked at her. Now, she just wanted to get in there and touch him and get out. She had faith, and her faith had healed her. She got what she thought she wanted, but what she needed, right? There's a difference sometimes in what we want and what we need in a relationship with God. And what she needed was a relationship. And it's interesting, Jesus turns to her and says, daughter. And this is the only time he ever does this, and it's a word of endearment. It's like calling her sweetheart, like, you know, just some kind of word of affection. And he says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. She had not had comfort. She had been, her life had been a mess, and Jesus offers her healing, right? She needed that, or she wanted that, and she needed it, but what she really needed was a relationship with God. And Jesus says, I give you comfort. What an incredible thing there. Your faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So really fascinating story how that Jesus wants and can give comfort. And then Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit coming upon the church as comforter. And we see that happening on the day of Pentecost, right? And that's different from the Holy Spirit that dwells within us when we're saved and convinces us that we're a child of God, bears witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. But Jesus said, I'm going to pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Isn't that interesting that the Holy Spirit that comes to the church to lead the church, he could have called a leader or all kinds of things. I know the word there is a paraclete, but it means to give comfort, to give aid. That's the very description of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus offered that woman comfort. The Holy Spirit that's going to come and lead the church is described as comforter. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, implying that Jesus with his church was giving them comfort. And I will not leave you comfortless, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father send in, whom the Father send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And then in Acts the 9th chapter, verse 31, when the church at Jerusalem had started to spread, and there's other churches around, and it says, and then had the churches rest throughout all Judea. A lot of the persecution had stopped in Galilee and Samaria. And they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So we talked about Jesus being comforter. We talked about being a comfort. We talked about the Holy Spirit as comforter. And then some of my favorite verses. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort. Right? As God said, I will comfort you. That's what he said there in the book of Isaiah. As a mother gives comfort, I will comfort you. Verse 4, who gives us comfort in all of our troubles, in all of our heartaches, so that we may be able to give comfort to others who are in trouble and heartache, though the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God and our hope for you is certain in the knowledge that as you take part in troubles and heartaches, so you will take part in comfort. Paul's saying that you will have trouble, you will have a heartache, but the God of all comfort will come and take care of us and give us what we need in comforting us. The second thing I want to talk about this morning in dealing with mothers in the attributes of God, God is like a mother bear defending her cubs. You ever heard that saying? don't rile up mother bear, right? You know, that is from Scripture. There's a lot of sayings that we say that have their foundation in Scripture. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. I'm sorry. This verse shows that from the Word of God we get comfort also. Sorry. Now we're going to go to God is like a mother bear defending her cubs. I will attack them like a mother bear whose cubs were taken from her. And then the rest of the verse also talks about some other animals. But as someone tries to take cubs, you don't want to come between a mother bear and her cubs, do you? That a lot of people on trails get attacked that way because of mother bears. They are very, very instinctively protective, right? And mothers are instinctively protective. Psalms 20, verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. In the name of Jacob, defend thee. A mother bear is going to defend her cubs. A human mother will defend her children. God will defend us. Psalms 59, verse 1, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. And we have the promise that God will do that on our behalf. The third one I want to talk about is God is like a mother eagle teaching essential life lessons to her young. As a mother eagle teaching her young to make their flight, with her wings outstretched over them, takes them up upon her strong feather, so the Lord only was his guide. No other God was with him. We have eagles in our neighborhood. We back up to a nature preserve, and there's actually a nest down at one end, and every once in a while we'll see a young fledgling that's not bald, it's still black on the top. And it makes you wonder how birds can learn to fly, because boy, if you just fall, right? One year we had an young eagle there that had died under that nest because somehow, I don't know if it was pushed out or what. But there are life lessons that are necessary for us to sustain life. And it says that this mother eagle teaches her young so that they can live life. And God is like that God will teach us these life lessons that will sustain us in our life, in our daily life, and also in our Christian life. And I like what it says of Jesus. Jesus said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. Jesus has some life lessons that he can teach us. We get so burdened, so worried about life, and sometimes we put ourselves in jeopardy if we would come unto the Lord and allow him to teach us some life lessons. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then the fourth attribute we want to talk about, God is like a mother hen protecting her chicks under her wings. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, this is Jesus speaking when he had gone up onto Mount of Olives and he was praying over the city of Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I, this is Jesus speaking, How often would I gather thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. It's kind of interesting. Jesus uses this idea of a chicken. When I was young, we raised chickens, and when they would hatch, there'd be a lot of little chicks, and they'd be running around, and yet they knew which mother was which, and the mother knew, and the little chicks knew. It's kind of interesting, this idea of the protection of the wing is used quite a bit in the Bible. It's used in Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work and full of reward, and given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Psalms, there is 1, 2, 3, 4 verses that talk about this same protection of God hiding us under his wing of protection. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing, chapter 36, verse 7. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, chapter 57, verse 1. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, and Psalms 91, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. And so the idea here is that God will protect us and look after us as a mother hen would do. And the fifth thing in dealing with the attributes of God, God is like a woman. And it's kind of interesting. It says, either what woman having 10 pieces, and this is a woman that has a house. So we don't know if she's just a woman that has a house. We don't know if she's a mother. We don't know the circumstances. But there is this woman that has some silver. And so she is responsible for some treasure, for some wealth. And we see how frugal she is here. And if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle? Does not this woman light a candle? And she sweeps the house. Now, the Lord had to use a woman because a man won't sweep, right? I'll sweep. But it's interesting. Have you ever swept, guys, and your wife comes and sweeps after you and you find an amazing amount of dirt? So it's kind of interesting, some of these attributes. Now, we men can clean. We just aren't very diligent about it sometimes. For what woman have 10 pieces if she loses it? She is going to seek it. She sweeps her house. She seeks it diligently till she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found a piece which thou hast lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the Lord of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. So this woman lost something, and she was diligently finding it. Now, it's kind of interesting. Have you ever lost something? I lose stuff all the time. And have you ever called your wife, and it's right there? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It seems like women are better at finding things than men are. Maybe we just don't diligently seek as much. But the point here is that as this woman had a heart, had a desire to find that which was lost, Jesus seeks us out. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. The woman found that coin. She had 9 others. Why worry about it? Why worry about one lost person? I'm so glad that God so loved the world that he sent his Son to save me. You know, that word world, we could change that. If there was one person in the world and it was only me, God would have sent Jesus to seek me out and to save me and to die for my sins so I could have everlasting life. In 1 Timothy verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth his long suffering. for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. The Apostle Paul says that it is a true saying, faithful, it is important saying that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he says, I am the worst. He persecuted the church. He had Stephen put to death. He was locking Christian church members up in jail. And he says, but yet I obtained mercy. And he says, and this happened that Jesus might show long suffering so that others might come to know that could believe that if Jesus would save me, Jesus could save you. Now, I don't know, God doesn't keep score on sins. A sin, one sin, will separate us from God. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. I like what James, I think it's 3:2 says. It basically says that we all sin and we're good at it. That's the point. And Paul says, and yet he loved me and he saved me with his long suffering, and that my believing shows others that God will also save them. As this woman diligently sought, for the Son of Man wants all, Jesus wants all to be saved. And number six, in dealing with the attributes of God, God is like a mother who always knows who her child is. Isaiah 49 verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child? As a mom breastfeeds, is she going to forget which child is hers? That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. And God says that, you know, moms, there's this identity with their child. They know who they are. And I think pretty young, the babies start to know who their mother is. And it's interesting, the verse goes on to say, yea, they may forget. We humans and mothers, some may forget, some may deny their child. Yet, God says, even though human mothers aren't perfect, but there's that innate desire for mothers to take care of her child, yet will I not forget thee. God says, I know who you are. As a mother understands who her child is, that is how I know my children. Makes me think of the verses in John where Jesus talks about him being a shepherd, and it says, to him, the shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. The shepherd knows his sheep, knows them by name, and Jesus is talking, I know my sheep, I know my children by name, and lead them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger's voice will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. God knows who we are. God knows whose his children are. And we as his children should know who our father is. Jesus goes on in that chapter in verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. As a mother is not going to forget her child, Jesus says, I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So this morning we've looked at six different characteristics of mothers, of women, and how these metaphors translate to the attributes of God and how he takes care of us. The last one I want to look at is a little different. It's a metaphor about us and our relationship with God. And Jesus used birth, right? And we all have mothers. Everyone that is here has had a mother, has been born of a mother. And Jesus said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, or this is the truth, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, wait, born of a mother, you know? And Jesus is saying, yes, we all have mothers, we've all been born, but we need a spiritual birth. We need to be born again. We need a being born of a mother makes you part of a family, gives you a relationship with your mother, with your father. And we need to be born again so we can have a relationship with our heavenly Father. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto you, ye must be born again. We all need, not obviously can't go back to our mother and be born again, but it's a spiritual birth. It's coming to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And the second analogy like that is found in Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Little babies, they have this innate desire to suck and to have nourishment, and that they're made like that. And God says we're to be like that. We should seek him out, the sincere milk of the word, so we can grow into a adulthood. And I really like what verse 3 says. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You ever taste something? You smell food and it smells so good. But there's nothing like tasting it, experiencing it. And that's what it says. If so be that you have tasted, or if so be that you have experienced that the Lord is gracious. God wants us to grow. God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants us to be faithful children of him. Let's all stand at the pianists and song leaders will come forward. I think it is incredible how that it took both man and woman to complete the full image of who God is. And God used some incredible metaphors to show how he can care for us as only a mother can give comfort and care and provision. How is your relationship with God? First of all, are you born again? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Second of all, how are you doing and growing? And have you tasted, have you experienced that the Lord is good? What page do you have for us?